Hello, good humans, and welcome back to Self with Amanda. I am your host, Amanda Tran, and on this podcast, I share ideas, experiences, and to have conversations to explore the self. By developing our own self-awareness, we can better show up for ourselves and those around us, and hopefully all live happier and healthier lives. Today's episode is a bit of a dedication and in honor of my favorite person in the whole world and some of the lessons that she taught me growing up. I've shared on some previous episodes about my great aunt before. She's a very special person to me, and in Vietnamese I call her Ba Y, and she is my paternal grandmother's only sister. She never married, never had kids, and devoted a lot of her time and energy into helping to raise her nieces and nephews. That's my dad and his siblings, as well as their children. I was incredibly fortunate to have her a huge part of my upbringing. She really helped to raise me in my early childhood years when we lived in Melbourne. And then even after that, I spent a lot of time in Melbourne, and she was there, and she also came to Perth. She is one of my most favorite people in the whole world. And last week I got a message from my auntie on Wednesday evening saying she was declining quite rapidly. So 7 years ago, I was in Melbourne, noticed that our conversations were very surface level and shallow, and that wasn't normal for us. She was kind of asking the same repeated questions, but not getting into the depth of anything. And that's how we usually spoke. So I just picked up that something wasn't right and took her to a doctor to get her assessed for dementia. And that kind of snowballed everything. She ended up in a nursing home. So over the past 7 years, her dementia has gotten a lot worse. It's declining. And the message last week told me that she is no longer eating or drinking and, you know, don't really know how much time she has left. And just with everything going on, that was really my last chance to go and see her and say goodbye. So David and I hopped on a flight the very next morning. We spent a couple of days with her, and yeah, just it really broke my heart seeing her so vulnerable and kind of left in this current state, considering the life that she lived before. And she was a very, you know, independent woman who was very capable of doing anything on her own. So yeah, this episode is inspired by her. You know, I haven't stopped thinking about her since I left, and it was really difficult to say goodbye to her, knowing that that's really going to be the last time that I see her, because all these things that we have planned are kind of in motion and can't really change any of it. So I'm grateful that we had the opportunity to go there and to see her, and Dave got to meet her. But yeah, that's been quite tough. So this episode here is for me to share some of the lessons that she taught me. And a part of that is a reminder of the impact that people have on our lives, but also about the possibility of the impact that we leave on others. I think often in life, while we are busy doing our own things, we don't realize how much of a role we can play in someone else's life. Even if we're super intentional about certain things, there is a rippling and domino effect. And I guess if you're listening to this show and you've enjoyed some of the past episodes or the topics, or you connect with aspects that I've shared of who I am, then a part of that is from my mate. It's her, you know, she played such a pivotal role in who I am today. So truthfully, I wouldn't be me without her. Oh, big emotions. So these lessons, over the past week I've been thinking, I mean, this is a woman who taught me so much, so many things, but there are some deep core value lessons that she taught me that I am so incredibly grateful for. One of the first lessons she taught me is that my own two feet can get me anywhere. She lived in North Melbourne in this flat, and I spent a lot of time there with her. And she didn't drive. I don't know why, but I'm quite sure she had her driver's license, but I think she just wasn't confident driving around Melbourne, fair enough. And she and I would take the bus, we'd walk heaps. I remember complaining about how much we would walk because I was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, and we'd walk what felt like huge distances for me to get around to everywhere. We would commute from North Melbourne to Footscray, we'd go to the city, we'd go all around, and she would always just take me along, and we'd catch buses and trams and trains, and it was always just a bit of an adventure. And she never complained about it. She, you know, was just like, we'll go and we'll figure it out. It wasn't a problem. And I really appreciated that, because when my family then moved to Perth, I never really took public transport at all. My parents were kind of quite against it, and so we were always dropped off and picked up. So that reminder that I could get myself anywhere, and watching her do that for herself, just get anywhere, I think really instilled a bit of a sense of adventure in me. The second thing that she taught me was to enjoy easy mornings. One of my favorite memories growing up is waking up at her place, and she would tell me to go and have a bath and play. And so I loved waking up there. She also lived with my great-grandmother, who has passed now, and my great-grandma would wake up, and she had this big smile on her face, and she would stand next to her bed and do all of these stretches. And she was this tall, slim woman who was just so happy. She had big, happy, bright eyes, and I loved watching her do her stretches. So I remember, I have such vivid memories of waking up and sneaking a peek through her door to watch her stretching, because I just thought it was so funny. I don't know why, but she would do all of these stretches, and then I'd go and have a bath, and I'd play with my Barbie doll, and I'd come out, and my great aunt would have Sailor Moon recorded for me, and it was on Agro TV or something, and she'd have a glass of Milo. And so I just got to enjoy the morning drinking my Milo, watching Sailor Moon, and it was so enjoyable. And that simple, easy morning made me feel so incredibly loved and cared for, and I looked forward to every single day. And I think from a very young age, I've always just enjoyed waking up as a, you know, kind of as a result of that. Like, those mornings are the ones that stick out most in my memory bank. And that was one of the hardest and saddest parts about leaving Melbourne was that she wasn't coming with me and that I wouldn't get those anymore. So I'm grateful for that, for learning to enjoy mornings as a child, and how interesting that looping all the way back, kind of coming full circle to who I am today, really advocating for mornings to yourself. Although I wouldn't now advocate for TV early in the morning in the same way. Really, it's about just taking the time to be present and to spend that time with yourself. And that is what I get to enjoy today. One of the other lessons she taught me is that of generosity. And I have been incredibly fortunate in life to receive so much generosity from a lot of people around me, whether that's family, friends, from total strangers even that I've met abroad. I am so fortunate, and that has taught me how to receive other people's generosity as well as to be generous with others. I always knew that my BE wasn't wealthy at all. She would tell me how poor she was. She didn't have a lot of money. This flat that she lived in was kind of government housing. It was a low socioeconomic area. I think there was a fair bit of crime and stuff in the area. But I never felt like we were lacking anything. And she, even though she didn't have much, she was always willing to give to me and share whatever she had. I was always quite conscious of money and generally have always been aware of how much things cost and recognizing some value in that. There was one time when I was visiting Melbourne and returning back to Perth, and I was devastated to leave. I remember telling her that I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay in Melbourne with her. I think I was about 7 or 8 years old, and she was with me at the airport. She told me it was okay. I was really upset, and she said, "Let's have a look in this shop." I think it was the Disney store or something. And she said, "I'm going to get you something so you can, you know, have this from me and you can know that I'm there, you know, with you. It's okay." And I looked around the store and everything was so expensive. And she told me it was okay, that I could get, you know, kind of anything I wanted. But I knew she didn't have a lot of money. And I looked at a few things that were so beautiful, and I found this Minnie Mouse diary, and it was $20. And I remember thinking, that's a lot of money. You know, we're talking, I mean, it is a lot of money to spend on a little diary for an 8-year-old. But I was really excited because I loved writing, and she knew I loved writing, and it was such a beautiful diary, and she could see how happy I was when I picked it up, and she said, "Yeah, we can get that." And I was like, "It's really expensive." Oh, I'm so, excuse me. I'm not sure I should release this episode on video because it's just snot everywhere. Rightio. Yeah, she knew I wanted it and she said, "We can get it." And she bought it for me, and it was just such a special gift. It was my first diary ever. And I remember writing in this diary saying that this is my first diary and that my BE bought it for me. And that's one moment, just a glimpse of the generosity. I mean, I know that $20 was still really valuable. You know, when I went to Melbourne and I spent time with her, she would buy me my favorite pastries, and she would take me all around, and I knew that she didn't have much. But she was always generous with her time, with her energy, and with what she had. And I believe that that spirit of generosity is necessary in people, in being a part of people's healing, because when we are able to be generous, we really allow people to feel loved. And that generosity doesn't have to be by spending lots of money. Like I said, it was in the generosity of her time and her energy and saying, this is what I'm able to give. And so I give it freely. And true generosity for me always looks like giving without any expectations, giving with a joy to give. And she taught me that. And what pleasure it was to receive that, to feel how great of a gift generosity is, and for me to take forward into my own life and to be generous with others. I think we're three down. I've got three to go. Three lessons. Another lesson that she taught me is how to really be present. And I know that this is a lot harder now, given our devices, our attention spans, everything that wants to take our presence away. What I learned from her was just how to be with other people and what it means to give people your attention and how meaningful that is. Whenever we were together, I felt like the only person in the world that mattered to her in that moment. And we would have conversations, even as a young, like very young child. She would ask me lots of questions and talk to me about the world. And I just remember feeling, I guess not as an adult, but that I just wasn't some kid left to the side and she was babysitting me. You know, she would ask me about what my plans were when I would grow up, what I would do with her and my great-grandma. And there was this tape recording that unfortunately I've lost now, but I was about 2 at the time. And on the tape, she's like, okay, say your name and your age. And I'm like, and I'm speaking all in Vietnamese here. And I say, I'm Amanda, I'm 2 years old. She's like, what are you going to do when you're older? And you know, so she kind of just asked me a bunch of these questions, and I said, when I grow up and I have my driver's license, I'm going to pick you up and pick up my great-grandma too, and we'll go out together and I'll take you to eat and we'll do all these things. And, you know, I'm sure she probably, you know, fed some of that to me to be like, yeah, well, how are you going to take care of me when I'm older? So, yeah, but it was just so fun being around her. And she always gave me her attention and her presence. And that translated even as I got older, and when I was living in Perth, she'd call me and we'd spend time talking on the phone. And I never wanted to get off the phone with her. You know, I didn't want to leave. And I think as I got older, probably moving towards my teens and becoming a bit of a brat, and, you know, when you go, I definitely went through a phase of like, I'm too good for any of the adults in my life. I don't have time. But certainly through all of that, she was always willing to give time and her attention to me. and I've spoken about it on previous topics before, but when, you know, when we are able to give our full attention and our presence to people, it's a reminder that people matter. And I want people to feel like they matter. If I sit down with someone, I want to have a conversation with them, not behind a screen, you know, having a screen in between us. I want to be able to give them what I have in that moment and really show up. And she was such a beautiful example of that all the time. And she was never, I guess, too busy or distracted, perhaps is the right word. She was just present. And when she was there, she was there. And it's a result of that that I have, honestly, all my memories with her are overwhelmingly positive and beautiful. And any time that I think of my childhood, it's flooded with her. And that is because that's what she gave me. And it's something that children need. And as a result, into adulthood, it affects your interactions with other people. And because she was such a steady, safe, beautiful human, she really allowed me to feel that and then to also be that for others and to know how it feels to have that in other people as well. Which leads to the next lesson she taught me, which is how it feels to be unconditionally loved and accepted. You know, I've shared in previous episodes about not feeling that, whether it's in past relationships or from my parents, but from her, she was the first person who showed me what it was like to truly just be unconditionally loved and completely accepted for who I am. I never felt like I wasn't good enough for her. I never felt like I needed to be better or to be smarter or to perform in a certain way. She just loved me just as me. And that created an incredibly safe space for me, which is the next lesson of creating a safe space for mistakes. So I'm going to combine these into a bit because I think they kind of intertwine and relate. For a lot of my childhood at home, I felt that I wasn't allowed to make mistakes, that if I messed up, I'd get into a lot of trouble or I wasn't good enough, that I was a failure. Anything less than 100% wasn't okay. And even though my BE wanted me to perform well, and she would tell me that, and she always encouraged me to study hard, the way that she spoke to me and reminded me of her love and acceptance of me, it never felt like it was conditional on those things. It was extra encouragement, if you will, and a reminder to do my best, but that she still loved me no matter what. And that created a really safe space for me to just try things. And one of the things that I used to do before bed when I stayed with her was math sheets. And she taught me a lot when it came to like maths and reading. Before I started school, I spent heaps of time with her and she taught me how to read, and she taught me how to add and subtract and multiply. So I certainly owe it to her for my fostering my academic mind, I guess. And so I would do these math sheets, just a whole bunch of addition, subtraction and whatnot before going to bed. I was like 4 at this point and I really enjoyed it actually. And I remember any time when I was really struggling with a question, she was always so patient with me. And it was okay for me to make mistakes. And when I would read and mispronounce words, her corrections were always so loving and gentle. And I guess the contrast of that perhaps with like what I experienced at home, that really stood out to me. So I had these opposing feelings, I guess. When I was with her, I had this very safe space just to be, to try and to make mistakes, and it was okay. And then contrasting that with kind of with what it felt like at home, which was that I had to get everything right. Otherwise, it wasn't okay and I'd get into trouble. So creating being someone who is a safe space for others has a huge impact. What it does is it allows people to feel safe in their bodies. And that was something I didn't have the words to explain as a kid, but I do as an adult now. And I remember feeling so heartbroken when my parents said that we were moving to Perth, and I asked if Bae was coming, and I was really upset that she wasn't going to be there because she was the consistent safe space for me. And she always reminded me that I was loved, and she maintained being a safe space and a safe person for me, even from afar. I remember one time my parents had a massive fight and they said they were going to split up. They asked me who I wanted to live with, and I said I wanted to live with Bae. I wanted to go back to Melbourne and live with her, but that wasn't an option. So I just was like, well, I can't make a decision then. I think I was about 9 years old at that time, but the person who I always wanted to come back to was her as a safe space. Now, as an adult who has learned a lot about the nervous system, a lot about what it means to feel safe in our bodies, I really understand now why and how she had the impact that she had in my life. Being a safe space provides an opportunity for people to completely feel at ease in themselves and in their bodies. And I understand that for many of us, if not, I dare say, all of us at some point have felt some sense of disconnection, some sense of not belonging, whether it's in this body, in this world, in this place, feeling a sense of being lost. And I wonder if you, and I hope that you do, have at least one person who allows you to feel at ease, at home and safe within yourself when you're with them. And she was that person for me. And again, this is such a beautiful reminder and a lesson for me of why it is so important to provide that for others and what it means to actually be a safe space for other people. Because it's something we all need and something other people need. And from these things that I shared, you know, her presence, her time, her attention, her acceptance, her generosity, it's all these things that led to this creation of a safe space. Just being held there for me to be me and show up as I am all the time. So these are just a few of the lessons that this wonderful human has taught me. And I hope that through reflecting on some of these that you are reminded perhaps of some beautiful lessons that someone close to you has taught you. Again, this is an opportunity as well for us to be reminded of the impact that people leave on us and the impact that we leave on others. She is always going to be a part of who I am. And truly, I would not be me without her. She has been a fundamental part in shaping me, in teaching me and guiding me. And, you know, up until her mind started deteriorating 7 years ago, we would have these wonderful conversations about so many things. And ultimately, she was always just rooting for my happiness. And while maybe that can sound quite shallow, I think in my culture, it's often expected that you forego your own happiness for the sake of your family or for work to achieve certain, you know, checkbox things that Vietnamese people deem to be a measure of success. So for me, one of the most incredible gifts was and still is just saying, I want you to do what ultimately makes your heart happy. And I think truly that's what all of us really want, is we want to be given the freedom, the opportunities, and sometimes the permission by those closest to us to go after and to pursue the things that make our hearts happy, that make us shine brightest, that allow us to love fiercely and freely, and to ultimately chase our big dreams, whatever they are, not according to a list that society has dictated, but really whatever is true for us, even if that is in line with what society has dictated. Ultimately, you know, I do believe that that's what we want. And to come back to our feeling of self. And so this is the person who has fostered that most in my life. And, you know, this past week has been challenging reflecting on those things, but it's also been an incredible opportunity to do that and to remember and to be flooded by all these beautiful memories and a reminder of all the moments that I really cherished when I was young and even now as an adult. To give you an idea, if all of this wasn't enough, to give you an idea of how important she was to me and still is, you know, but I know she's not really there anymore. I remember one of the things I used to do, such a weird kid, I used to lay in bed thinking about what would happen if she died, and I would just cry for like half an hour, an hour. So bizarre. This was when I was about 9, 10 years old, And I actually did this kind of a lot. I think just through my life, really missing her and loving her so much, it was very hard for me to be so far away from her. And it was scary and sad to think about the idea that one day she might not be here. So I guess to come now to the other side of that, where she is very much at the end of her life. It honestly is just as hard as I expected it to be. You know, a part of my grieving happened already over the past 7 years. It's kind of been ongoing as I've seen her mind deteriorate from this disease. And there's still more grief to come. And that's the beauty of people, having special people in our life, that their loss has an impact just as their life did. I think I will leave this episode there. Thank you for listening to the end if you're here. Big emotions. Didn't really know where this was going to fully go, so I appreciate you joining in for the ride along with me. If you enjoy the show, please leave a comment, review, subscribe to it. I'm on YouTube, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. I release episodes every Thursday. You can also follow me along on Instagram @selfwithamanda. I will see you next week. Bye.